Welcome to Dream Machine. My name is Aaron.
My name is Patricia.
And we are back in the world of trolls.
Yep-dee-dip-dee-doo.
Yeah, because they were always so thrilled every time a trolls movie comes around.
Yeah.
Okay, so to give everybody a bit of history, we saw the first Trolls movie, and to say that we're less than impressed, I think it was probably an understatement. And then we got to Trolls World Tour, and if it wasn't for Barb and the Rock Trolls, I don't think we would have got through that movie either. And which brings us on to this movie, which unfortunately don't have any Rock Trolls in it. It seems to have even more most really disgustingly shiny and cutesy characters, and apparently, according to Rotten Tomatoes, at least to the audience score anyway, this apparently is supposed to be the best troll sequel,
yes,
according to them. Let's talk about this, shall we?
All right, here we go. Together is a 2023 American animated jukebox musical comedy film produced by DreamWorks Animation and is distributed by Universal Pictures based off of the Good Luck Trolls dolls from Thomas Dam. It's a third installment of the Trolls franchise, and the story goes as this. Branch and Poppy, who are officially a couple, attempt to rescue Floyd while reuniting with Branch's brothers after the boy band phenomenon Brozone was disbanded. So, Floyd was actually kidnapped by this brother and sister duo by the names of, Velvet and Veneer, who are pop star wannabes who actually can't sing in real life, but are using the essence of the trolls so they can be able to perform well in front of their online and concert venues, and they're given a Lifetime Achievement Award for their singing, and it's up to Branch and his older brothers to save off Floyd right before he is pretty much disintegrated into nothing while Velvet and Veneer are pretty much universally praised for their singing, even though that they're actually frauds.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're back to, like, abusing the trolls again, effectively. If they're not being eaten, basically, they're being, like, you know, being used as, like, you know, power for, like, fake pop music, apparently. It's just, basically, we're kind of, like, doing this kind of, it kind of feels like this, it feels very samey. In a way that, you know, we're doing this again, like, with the trolls, like, you know, oh, they're being oppressed by, like, you know, people who want to, you know, abuse their power to, become powerful within, like, you know, the music world and stuff like that. It's just, on top of that, like, you know, I mean, I guess we're doing some more expansion, but, I mean, these were, like, the antagonists in this were, like, called, like, succubuses or something like that?
No.
Were they called them that?
No, they're not called succubus. Oh, okay, so here's the thing that we, that somebody actually corrected us when we were discussing about the Trolls Holiday Special.
Right.
So, yeah, if you guys remember that in the Trolls Holiday Special, they were helping out these goblin creatures, which, by the way, they're not necessarily
goblin
goblins.
Creatures. They're what's called
They're actually Burmans.
Burmans, yeah.
Yeah, so here's the thing. We want to apologize for mislabeling them as goblins. We didn't mean to, so just want to point that out.
If that was such a, you know, a sin, you know, on that regards, like, you know, if you made us actually care about these characters, we would actually be caring about, you know, like in Charge There, for example, like, some people just refer to, people actually don't know that Will Smith's character is actually called Oscar. They just refer to him as Will Smith Fish. Like, it's just, it's, so, yeah, like, I mean, if you really want us to care so much about these characters. Give us something to care about. You know, make them do things that actually make us, you know, feel something in this movie. I've got to be honest with you. This is another Trolls movie where I feel like I didn't really feel anything, you know, with our characters. If anything, everything that, you know, we've got here just feels so generic and just feels very much the same as, like, you know, what we expect from Trolls.
Yeah,
you know,
at least
I can even remember the music numbers, and even then, like, they're based off, like, you know, well-known titles.
Yeah, exactly. At least with Trolls World Tour, it was a different scenario where you have the rock trolls wanting to take over every single form of music and with rock and roll. And yeah, I mean, it did involve with, like, the trolls again with being, taken away with what they were accustomed to, but at least it was different. They weren't eaten. They weren't, being taken advantage of. They were just trolls themselves. They just wanted to take over with rock and roll music. But yeah, in this one, we have these two wannabe brother and sister duo who are really, really popular on, you know, essentially what is the Gen Zers. And they, in reality, they're a fraud. They're actually just utilizing the essence of the troll so that they can sing really well. And yeah, let's get into this, shall we? So the focus this time is on Branch, where all the other movies were focusing on Poppy. You know, with, you know, we have like the introduction of the first movie where, you know, Poppy and in her kingdom were being threatened by the creatures. Then we have the second movie in which, you know, Poppy and the kingdoms, all of the troll kingdoms were being affected by Queen Barb. But this time it focuses on Branch. So once upon a time, over 20 years ago, Branch was the youngest member of a boy band called Brozone. And it consisted of the following brothers. So we have John Dory, who is the leader of the group, Spruce, who's the second oldest and who's the heartthrob, Clay, who is the fun boy, Floyd, who is the sensitive one, and then there is Bincy B, or the young baby of the group. Essentially, Branch is essentially the Michael Jackson of the Jackson 5.
I guess so, but, you know, again, like, you know, I get what they were going for here, but, I mean, it's just this... Yeah, I mean, like, these characters, I mean, I tell you what, the leader of the group, what was the name of the leader again?
John Dory.
Like, he's the most, you know, disliked, you know, member of this group, I can probably imagine.
Yeah, the reason why is because he's the oldest of the brothers, and he bosses everybody around, and they're looking for the perfect harmony. So, it's during their first performance on their major tour, and they mess up big time because they couldn't hit the perfect harmony.
But here's the problem with this is that, so, you know, you can't really sympathize with this character because you're not given enough background of, like, why, like, it's just like, I'm the older brother and therefore I need to make sure I look after my brothers. No, like, you know, let's take TMNT for example. Like, you know, the reason why, you know, it's either in one version it's either Leonardo who's the leader of the group or it's either Raphael who basically is the leader of the group, and always the arc that they always give them is the fact that, you know, they, you know, want to, you know, get the leader of the group because they want to look after their brothers and they want to care for them because, you know, Master Splinter is basically, you know, giving them that, you know, that responsibility in order to do that, you know, and also to install these leadership credentials, you know, to make them, you know, a better ninja and also, you know, a better leader and everything like that. I mean, if they did something like that with this, I mean, I'll have more sympathy for him, but I don't. Like, you know, the explanation for him basically just being, you know, in charge of everybody is that older brother, which is like, no, you know, you need more than that. You know, like, if there was, like, you know, a fabrication where it's like, look, you know, my parents, you know, said, you know, look, you know, please look after the brothers, well, like, you know, and be the responsible, you know, like, adult here, if you will. Like, you know, if the burden of, like, you know, the family was put upon him, totally understandable, you know, totally relatable situation, I think, for a lot of people who might be in that thing. But no, they don't explain it properly, and therefore you can't really, you just feel met, you just feel lost.
You do feel lost. So yeah, if he had like a similar backstory to Joe Jackson, the father of the Jackson 5, where, you know, he came from a really rough upbringing, he wanted to become a really successful singer, but never really could get off the ground, and so he ended up working in a steel mill for decades so that he can be able to support his family in a poor area in Gary, Indiana. And yeah, his methods were pretty abusive and horrible, but it was essentially a way for him to provide for his family so that they can be able to break out of, you know, the small poor town that they were in, moving over to Los Angeles and, you know, giving their, you know, his sons a chance for them to show off their skills and their talents. And if John Dory had a similar backstory or even a backstory in general about the fact that he cares for his brothers, he's pushing them because he knows that, you know, they're capable of doing so much, and or, you know, maybe competition is steep. I mean, you have to remember that around the mid to late 90s, boy bands were huge. We're talking about 98 Degrees, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Boys to Men.
Take that, E17, you know, on our UK side of things.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So they were, and even for girl bands too, like the Spice Girls. Like, this was a genre in which everybody who's anyone was into a boy band. If you were one of those people who were into one or maybe even both of them or a whole bunch of them, you had posters on the walls on their faces. Every time that they would feature on MTV, you would always vote for their music video to be number one. I mean, it was huge. So if I could imagine, like, he's trying to, you know, do the best that he could to have his brothers perform perfectly so they can be able to stand up to the competition, I can completely understand that. But they don't give no explanation. It's like, you guys have to hit the perfect harmony. I'm the older brother. I know what's best. And the other brothers are just not taking this nonsense anymore. And they all leave. And the four...
Which is understandable from that point, because, you know, why is this guy bossing him around? I actually kind of like the idea of, like, you know, ditch this guy. What on earth are they, what good is he doing?
Yeah, I mean, just because he's the oldest?
Yeah, so poor explanation, I think, in regards to, you know, that character, and, you know, everybody else kind of just feel like, you know, like a side, you know, is the definition of a side character.
Yeah, I mean, they are side characters, like Spruce, the second oldest, who's the heartthrob. He changes his name to Bruce because, ooh, wow, what a massive change.
Yeah.
And he ends up, you know, just being the father of a whole bunch of kids, and that's, what kind of... What kind of creature is his wife? Like a giant yarn person? I have no idea.
I thought she was like, the wife out of, like, you know, where Bob's Burgers, like, you know, that character.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. I don't know. Anyway, then you have Clay, who's the third oldest and the quote-unquote fun boy. He ends up being, get this, he ends up being in charge of an abandoned golf course with somebody. We'll get to who that is later. And then the fourth person is Floyd, and he's the one who's actually kidnapped and being used as the essence for the brother-sister duo of Velvet and Veneer. And yeah, like, they don't really get a lot of personality other than just, oh, we need, you know, to gather up the band so that we can be able to free our older brother, you know, our brother who's being captured by these two wannabe singers. And yeah, that's essentially what the main motivation of the movie. But that's just basically what the premise is.
Yeah, and our villains, quite frankly, are just, you know, here's the thing about this. You know, I like villains who you can sort of, like, understand where they're coming from. These villains, you can't, you know, you are just insufferable.
I hate them so much.
Yeah, it's like, but I can understand they're supposed to be villains, so you are supposed to, like, you know, not take their side and stuff like that. But, like, you know, their whole thing is not understandable. Like, it's just, I mean, I get if they, you know, if funny, they even joked about that, like, in one of the skits where they said, you know, oh, we came from, like, you know, poverty, and, you know, do you want to really go back to that again? And then you know, Veneer basically turns around and says, no, we were living in suburbs and our parents were dentists, and so, you know, we were actually, you know, living actually really comfortable lives before we, you know, we went to, you know, into fame and fortune, effectively. It's just like, yeah, you can't like these people whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, you have Velvet, who's just incredibly vain, mm-hmm. who thinks that she's just absolutely amazing, and then you have Veneer, who's kind of like the cowardly one, but at the same time, he loves his fame and fortune and making a whole bunch of money and buying yachts. So, yeah, he's the more sensible one of the duo, but you really can't root for him.
It makes me feel like they tried to do Team Rocket in this situation, where, like, you have a Jesse and you have a James, but they've totally missed the point of these characters, effectively. So, like, Veneer, you know, like, you can see that he, you know, at some points he's like, well, I really want to stand up to my sister and say, like, you know, some of what we're doing is wrong, but at the same time, like, you know, know, she is like the one who's saying that, you know, we have these good lives because of this, and you know, I'm really that she's going to get really angry, do something to me, or she'll like ditch me if I, you know, if, you know, one conversation I would like to have seen between these two characters that, you know, Velvet just says, oh, okay, then well, you know, don't do all of this, and I will ditch you, and I'll have a solo career, and I won't bring you on for the ride.
They were even joking about this when the brothers broke up. It's like, I'm going to go solo.
Yeah, and like they could have kept that with the theme, saying, oh, Velvet, oh, well, it'll just be Velvet, and you will just basically just fall by the wayside and basically just perform in, like, you know, small back houses, and that's about it. And so, oh, you won't even have anything at all. You have to go back and live with mom and dad, and like, you know, you've done too well to do that. And so he's been kind of being like hanging on to that, like, you know, being dragged along for the ride. And then, you know, somewhere around the end of the movie, be like, yeah, no, this is wrong, and we're not doing this anymore. And you know, and that. But no, like, you know, he just makes himself irredeemable, which I think, you know, it totally missed the point of like that when having that type of character, in my opinion. So yeah, the villains are wrong, in my opinion. I think they've done them totally wrong.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, I get the understand, with the exception of the first movie.
And by the way, why is Velvet, you know, like a spitting image of Ariana Grande?
I think that was the point.
Why?
Because Ariana Grande is really, really popular with the young teenagers. They're catering to Gen Zers, so obviously they're going to make them look like, you know, like very popular singers that people would be more familiar with.
I mean, like, yeah, I just, no, it doesn't work for me.
Nah, okay, fair enough. Anyway, but yeah, let's also talk about the other things that are in the mixture, because, oh, you think that was like the major part of the story? Oh, no! Let's talk about the fact that Poppy has a sister.
So, this comes out of left field.
Like, I'm trying to understand this. Okay, let me get this straight. So, in the first movie, the Bergens were responsible for trying to eat up the trolls. And so, like, several years before the events of the first movie, the Bergens came by and were, you know, eating a whole bunch of trolls in the kingdom. And then you have the older sister, whose name is Viva, who was fighting them off. And then her and several other trolls were separated by a huge falling down of a bunch of boulders, trapping, you know, them out of the kingdom and having to wander away from themselves. And everybody in the kingdom thought that they were dead. Hmm. And that's why the father never brought it out to Poppy that she had an older sister. But instead, it turns out that, no, they are very much alive and they've been in the abandoned golf course alongside with Clay this entire time.
Yeah. And, you know, Clay was building up to the fact that, yeah, look, you know, your sister is not right in the mind. I thought, oh, good grief, she's going to be a psychopath, isn't she? And like, we're going to go down that. But no, she like, she basically just closes a door and like just says, no, you're not leaving here. And they said, oh no, we are leaving here, and Clay less than that anyway. So basically, they tried to build up tension, and then they get to the point of the tension, and then just throw it all away anyway.
Yeah, so the point of the tension was, is that Viva and the rest of the trolls have not been outside of the golf course since they were separated from the other trolls when the Bergens attacked. And so they have no idea that since the first movie, the Bergens and the trolls have actually been really good friends. And so she has the same mindset that Bergens are bad. Bergens will eat us. Let's just stay away from them. If Bergens do come in, we'll kill them. Just like how they killed all of our families and our friends and got us away from our home. You would think that there'll be something like really interesting there, like going through trauma.
What an awesome opportunity for a fight scene. Like, you know, that's what he needed. Like, you know, he needed, like, you know, both of them's like, you know, a massive fight, like, you know, about who's right and stuff like that. And then eventually they escape. Like, you know, had a chance for an action sequence there and they didn't capitalize on it.
Yeah, or maybe they could have brought up the more traumatic stuff. It's like, hey, you know, we have Viva who was separated from her family, from her home, from everything that she knew about, from these evil-looking goblin creatures called the Bergens. And she had this mindset that they were evil and that she could never go back to where she was living in. And so that same mindset she carried on throughout her entire life. And then when she finally reunites with her sister, other trolls, and then they're telling her, no, the thing that you thought was bad this entire time are actually good now. And then when she realizes that they're going to be leaving soon, she's like, no, I, you know, I haven't seen you since you were a baby. You're going to be staying here. You're my only family. I'm going to protect you from the outside world because it's bad and it's dangerous. So I would have really liked to have seen some more development from that.
Exactly, yeah, but this is the problem. Like, you know, they introduce a bunch of characters and they don't develop them. Everything here feels half-baked, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's probably not the worst half-baked subplot. Tiny Diamond, you remember that little tiny diamond troll character played by Kenan Thompson?
Oh, by the way, and this is how we learn that basically this is a month after the last movie.
Okay, Sure. Yeah. Anyway.
Through Kenan Thompson's character.
Yeah. He has a side plot too, where it's about that he thinks that he's a big boy now. He's not a baby anymore. And so he's going to travel with Poppy and Branch so that they can be able to find the remaining brothers from Brozone so they can free them from Velvet and Veneer. But he doesn't really prove that very well.
No. He doesn't know this at all.
Why was this subplot here again?
Because Kenan Thompson needed a movie to be in.
Okay, sure. And then, you know, we also have King Griswold and we have Bridget,
They've got a side of guys that, like, they got married and they're starting to have a honeymoon. So.
Yeah, we saw them from the first movie. We saw them in the holiday special, and now they're finally going to have their honeymoon and they're going to be traveling around. And they actually got captured by the trolls over by the golf course.
By the way, to keep the audience titillized, basically, they make a joke about, like, you know, the king losing his pants and apparently, Bridget seeing how hot that was.
Or how about the fact that they were tied up and they were about to die when being crushed by the golf head, and they were like, let's make out is our last thing we'll do before we die.
And he's like, what?
I don't get this.
Yeah. It's just, it's, I just like it. Why are the Borgans in this movie?
Well, I mean, the reason why the Borgans are in Borgans this movie, the reason why is because we needed to have them go over to the golf course to show to Viva that they're not bad anymore.
Okay, then. So, then they have, like, a pop. You know, again, like, why all the segments? Like, you know, you could have easily, like, you know, introduced them going off on their honeymoon, and then they basically just, you know, out of it, you just pass by. It's like, oh, hey, you know, it's them again. It's like,
I mean, we did get that every once in a while, but I didn't think that they were going to be that crucial to the plot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, that's interesting. Like, you know, how would you bring Viva into it? Like, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, the Borgans come in, and it's like, they could have put it in as a surprise, I thought. Like, oh, hey, they're not just in the first part, in the beginning part of the movie, they're also in, like, you know, in the back of the second act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we got, like, these pointless segments with them, like, you know, just traveling around. It's like, why? It's just.
I mean, we don't really need to see their honeymoon, to be quite
honest.
No,
we didn't. Like, you know, concentrate on there's a plot. You know, like, yeah, concentrate on the plot.
Yeah, there's a plot involving with five additional characters. Focus on that.
Exactly. Yeah. So So then we get, like, you know, the final, like, confrontation between, like, you know, all our characters and, you know, Velvet and Veneer. And I mean, here's the thing about this. Like, we really thought, like, it was going to get, like, to, you know, the awards ceremony. And we thought it was going to be, like, this massive conversation. But no, they just run away. And, like, just say, oh, hey, we're just going to have, like, our performance, like, in the street.
I'm sorry, what now?
And he's like, what?
What happened to security? What happened to, you're lying, we're going to prove it to you and we're going to sing? Or, we don't believe you, just ignore them. Or, hey, they're haters of our talent or something. Why just run away? It's just going to make you even more suspicious.
Yeah, exactly. So, the whole, like, you know, finale is sort of kind of a dud, really. It's just like, it's just them, like, you know, singing and, you know, it's trying to save Floyd. And, you know, Floyd turns into, like, a jewel, like, you know, at the very end. But, you know, he's going to be fine at the very end of it. Like, the whole, like, you know, the Care Bears, like, you know, let's all hands and, like, say, we care. And there's no payoff to, like, watching this movie.
You
there
have
really
to
isn't.
Survive for me, Floyd. I built us a place to be together. The only thing I didn't do was the 10-foot water slide. But how will we shower?
I'm sorry. Like, I felt nothing in that scene. I felt nothing in this movie. Like, it just feels like this is what we've grown to expect from Trolls. Like, it's just a bunch of songs and a bunch of, like, you know, really half-baked storylines and characters that, you know, you don't develop properly. And, you know, it just feels like you want to just shoehorn the songs in there and then everything else is secondary. No, that's not how a movie works. Like, when you do a proper musical, like, look at South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, for example. Like, you know, the story goes around the music, if anything, and you could have easily done that with, like, you know, the themes that you had within Trolls. But I just got to say that, you know, if you're looking for, like, a really good, like, you know, jukebox musical movie, it's not Trolls.
No, it's not. I mean, that's why jukebox musicals have a bad reputation. It's like, okay, we're gonna be taking pre-existing songs and we're going to implement it into a movie with them singing. A lot of people think that's really lazy. It's like, oh yeah, you're just gonna take songs songs that you didn't write yourself and implement it into a movie, and it's just going to be really big because of recognition.
But cool, all you do is you start off with the story, and then you say, well, what songs can work within the story? And then you pick the songs, and there you go.
Yeah, like, that's what they did with Moulin Rouge.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And, you know, so because there's a lot of iconic musicals out there, and they're not jukebox musicals by any... I admit some of the examples I probably would give. But, I mean, like, there needs to... What Trolls has is a lack of understanding, I think, of why you put music in there, what are these characters doing, why, you know, what are you doing in this story? And, you know, you're kind of left now more with probably even more of a mess than you probably had in the second movie.
Yeah, and then also you had to shoehorn in the fact that, oh, Poppy and Branch are finally a couple, but we don't really get that until, like, maybe the beginning where they were talking about, like, you know, are you ready to go to the wedding? And I'm like, wait, what? They're married already? And it's like, oh, no, we're going to go over to Bridget and King Griswold's
wedding. I think
they're
going to keep teasing this, like, in every freaking Trolls movie that they basically do. Probably, you know, we'll probably get to, like, Trolls 10 and probably, like, you know, they'll still be, like, you know, they've only just got to, like, you know, eloping at this point. Like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, but in the end of the movie, they do share their first kiss, though.
I mean, but then again, like, you know, that's just a gimmick. Like, you know, it's true. Not really been earned.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, for example, Branch had not told Poppy about his quote-unquote feelings or his backstory throughout this entire time. And as a couple, we will tell you that communication is very important in a relationship.
Didn't it feel very secondary, Branch and, you know, Poppy's relationship in this? Always, I don't even think he's even secondary. I think he's probably like your third or fourth or fifth.
I mean, you essentially have the plot. Okay, the plot points goes as this. We have the reuniting of the brothers. We have... you know, one of the brothers gets kidnapped by a bunch of wannabe singers. You have the honeymoon between the Bergens. You have Tiny Diamond wanting to be a man. And then you have Poppy reuniting with her long lost sister. And maybe a little sprinkle of them actually being a couple.
It's a mess. Colorful mess.
And then you have this whole trippy sequence when they push the hustle button on the caterpillar bus. Which, by the way, hey... My neighbor Totoro called. They want their creativity back. Anyway, but yeah, there's this really trippy sequence where they push the hustle button and the animation changes and it goes all loopy. It's like, it worked in the second movie because they actually ate something and it made them trippy. Or one of the characters almost died and went to heaven and then they brought him back again. There's a reason why that stuff was actually, like, in context, pretty cool, as opposed to, like, just being weird for the sake of being weird.
You know what I would like to see in one of these Trolls movies? I'd like to see the mime from the Powerpuff Girls just come in and just suck all the color out of all this movie. And he would basically be the hero at this point.
But, yeah, and then, of course, we're going to have Poppy, Branch, and everybody just singing, love, 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 makes the world go round.
Yeah. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they you know what, that could be really be a Trolls movie. Like, you know, someone sucks all the color out of the Trolls, you know, universe, and then it's up to Poppy and Branch, and everyone just sing their way out of it and sing that blasted song.
Yeah, and here's the thing. NSYNC is actually in this movie, but they're not the brothers. You would think that they would be the brothers.
Which makes no... Why would you not make them the brothers? I guess maybe they didn't. I guess maybe they couldn't get them to act and, you know, to do that.
I don't know, but then you have this whole thing where Branch said, oh, you're not the only boy band I was a part of. So... Okay, I get the fact that, you know, Branch is voiced by Justin Timberlake and he was a part of NSYNC. So let me get this straight. You're trying to tell me that when we saw Branch in the first movie, he was a shut-in because his grandmother was eaten by one of the Bergens. And, you know, he was, like, trapped in there all of this time. He was very serious. He was very strict. And when he finally reunited with Poppy, he started becoming more of just a troll that needed to be careful with everything. He was a little bit more looser. He was a little bit more freer. And he was more confident. And he was able to express himself more than we've ever seen him in throughout this franchise. You're going to tell me that he joined another boy band right after the time in which his other brothers broke up and before the events of the Bergens eating the... I don't get this.
No, it makes no sense. It's a mess. And I think, unfortunately, you know, anyone who's convincing me that this is the best Trolls movie, I don't think any of them would be very any good, to be honest with you. I still think Trolls World Tour is probably like the only reason I like that is because of Barb.
Yeah, exactly. But the only reason why we liked that movie was because Barb was awesome. We like rock and roll. She essentially told Poppy what you're doing of trying to do the same thing but, you know, do it with pop music was absolutely wrong. And all of the other characters were just telling her to please just shut up already. So it's like, yeah, Poppy is just as annoying, if not more annoying in this movie. And not to mention that she has an older sister who's just like her. So yeah. It's like
what Chandler Bing said, out of the friends, like, you know, oh, now there's two of them. That must mean it's the end of the world.
Shall we give this a score?
Well, okay. So, it can't. The story, I think, is all over the place. There's too many plot points. The villains, you know, are not very. I think they're probably. Dare I say, probably these are the worst villains. I think that we've had out of like all the trolls.
Yeah,
movies.
Easily.
I think. Yeah, they're the third best villains. I think we can say behind the rock, behind you know
the Bergens
and the rock trolls. I think the rock trolls are basically our favorite villains. I think if such a thing exists. I mean, the music, I can't, even though they're popular songs, I can't even remember except for Tainted Love, and then...
Yeah, there were a whole bunch of music
songs, yeah, but they used them, also on top of that, you know, we've downloaded the version of the movie from the streaming sites that basically had, like, the lyrics and, like, you know, the emoji things in the front of
it. It is so super distracting.
It is, yeah, and so that didn't help
either. I have no idea if this is actually in the movie, I doubt it is, but, yeah, we got the YouTube version for a few dollars, and... Mm. We were watching it, and every time that the music was popping up, even if it was in the background, there were still lyrics there.
Yeah.
And every time that the characters were saying, like, oh, I know you, you're Brozone, you were known for the song Baby, Baby, Girl, and then Girl, Girl, Baby, and then you see a bunch of emojis of girls, babies, hearts, freaking trolls.
I know. It's just,
it is not only just in, you know, like, it's overwhelming not only because there's too many plot points with a lot of characters, but when you're watching it with the version that we had, it's overwhelming to the eyes because you're watching emojis, you're watching the lyrics in the bottom, and they're watching all the colors of all the different worlds that they go into.
I think this is really important as well because, like, you know, if you're neurodivergent, you suffer from, you know, overload from, like, you know, and you feel like there's too much going on in the screen. This is not the movie for you. Like, you know, there's far too much going on, and at one point, I think you and I had to take a break, I think, at one point.
We did.
Yeah, and because, you know, there's just so much too going on. And I mean, it's not, I mean, I would not say that this film was autism friendly in any way, which, you know, is sort of kind of like becoming a little bit of a, you know, at least some movies will give you an opportunity to, like, you know, take things in. This movie doesn't. And it just throws everything at you, like, as much as it can. And you just feel overwhelmed in the situation. So, I mean, that's another reason why I don't like this movie.
Okay,
and,
so taking all of that into account.
If we have to give the score, I'm going to say 3 out of 10.
Okay, yeah, 3. Because everything about this movie was downright worse than the previous films.
Some people consider the second movie the worst movie.
I don't agree. I think the second movie was the best.
Yeah, it had a better message.
It had better characters.
Yeah, exactly.
It had better music.
Yeah.
It told Poppy to shut up a few times.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know what? I mean, I bring kudos to Barb the Rock Troll and to the person in charge of the country troll world because they sung amazing and they told Barb that pop music wasn't all that crapped up to be, so thank you for that. But no, this just emphasizes the pop music even more. And don't get me wrong, I do like pop music, but not into the extent of this. I mean, if I have to hear Sweet Dreams by Eurythmics one more time, I'm going to freaking throw something out a window.
Exactly. And just this, they totally missed the mark on this one. And unfortunately, you know, sadly, I mean, again, we've not got the box office numbers, I think, for Trolls.
As of the making of this, it's still in the theaters. And this thing has been going on for over a month and a half.
Oh, wait, hang on a second. We do have it here. I mean, good grief, actually. It took $95 million to make this movie. And currently, it's only brought on $208 million.
Oh,
so I mean, it has doubled its budget, but
we're considering about all the previous films, with the exception of Trolls World Tour, because we understand that came out during the pandemic, so it's not going to make a lot of money compared to the first Trolls movie.
Yeah, but I think they're looking at that. I think they were expected to make a whole lot more.
Yeah,
I would have thought.
I don't want any more.
No,
well, I'm done with Trolls. I wanted to move on to something else.
Yeah, so, well, we get an opportunity to move on to something else. So,
yeah, can we just flat out say that 2023 was a terrible year for DreamWorks?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, let's move on from that in the next episode, shall we? Because the next episode of Dream Machine is going to be Orion in the Dark.
And I'm really looking forward to talking about this one.
Yeah, so, our advice is basically, if you see a Trolls movie, just don't watch it.
No, you're better off playing with the Trolls dolls.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be funny because, you know, somewhere down the line, I mean, we're going to be asking our question. Like, you know, what's a worse franchise, Trolls or Cars?
Oh, that will be a discussion in itself.
Yeah, but until then, we've got Orion in the Dark coming up for Dream Machine next. So take care, and bye for now.
See you later.